You're listening to In the Moment
with Liv and Bix.
Hey, it's Liv.
And Bix, and you're listening to In the Moment with Liv and Bix, a podcast for unsuccessful actors.
By unsuccessful actors.
I gotta say, we're feeling pretty successful.
I know, recently. I must say, I feel pretty good, actually. I'm like, are we liars?
A little no. bit. We're just trying to be relatable.
No.
No, but all in all, like, I do feel like we've been on, like, a really good little path. Right? Even though, like, I've done nothing recently and, like, nothing's been happening, but I still, I don't know, I feel a sense of, like, somewhat success.
Oh my God, I watched more of your show, by the way, which I don't know if you did a formal announcement that it's out.
I did. Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm going to post it on Instagram.
Vix has something exciting to share about one of her shows that is now out. So yeah. I'll let her do the sharing.
I'm so pumped because for the whole like past couple of months, I haven't even been able to like say the title of it, say what it's about, say like literally anything.
Let's talk about it.
So now I could tell you. Yay.
Yes.
I recently did a project in like late June, maybe early July for this company called Real Short Productions. And they have their own app and you could go on the app and they're like affiliated with these other apps that people write fiction novels. And a lot of it is, you know, in like the werewolf universe or just they have their own little mini universes and they take these novels, these books pretty much that people have written, and they turn them into screenplays and they turn them into scripts and they turn them into these little series. So on the app, you'll see each little, it's almost like a feature film or like short film, but they're broken up into 1 to 2 minute little episodes. So it was fun to shoot it because it was pretty much just like shooting it like a movie, but it was just like all broken up and like all over the place. But it's finally out. It is called Fatal Temptation Between Two Alphas. And I play a character named Chris, and I am the sister to the alpha of the Midnight Pack. And pretty much the plot is there are two opposing werewolf packs that also run like really big, like security, like hacking, like some type of like.
I know,
big,
I just got there. Yeah. I just saw it because I'm still watching and I just got to the part where, oh, I don't know if I should say it because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So I don't want to spoil it for people.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, no spoilers. But I just basically got there where I feel like it's introducing that part of the story.
Yeah. So it's funny. It's okay. Like somebody commented and was like, oh my God, is it like Twilight? Does it give Twilight vibes? And I was like, it's like Twilight if Twilight had hackers and they dressed like business casual.
Yes. Yes, it literally is because it has like the family.
It's very like corporate, high up.
Yes.
So yeah, so pretty much the plot is there's these two opposing werewolf packs and there is one woman who's also a werewolf and she is kind of in between the two packs and she has these ties to the different packs and there's like a witch involved and there's spells and there's magic and there's fighting. Yeah. And there's werewolf transformations and it's a lot of fun. I would definitely suggest going to check it out. But yeah, check it out on the Real Short app. You could watch it. You could watch it ad-free if you buy, you have to like pay money, which I understand like people don't want to pay money because I'm broke. But you can also watch it on their TikTok and their Instagram. They release one episode per day. So you'll just have to wait a lot. Yeah, they also I think 7 episodes are out on social media right now. So if you're like a binger, watching it that way might not work for you because you get to watch 1 minute
you have to wait.
Per day. But yeah, I've just been watching on the app. There, you know, the ads are there, but you just put your phone down and then click the X when it's gone. And then
where could someone, if they wanted to, find it on TikTok if they wanted to find it there?
It is on their official TikTok page. It's on RealShort_official, I'm pretty sure, or RealShort_video. I mix up their Instagram and TikTok.
If someone, meaning myself.
As she's like typing into her phone.
I am. I was like, if someone, like, it's one of those I'm asking for a friend thing. Yeah. But really, I'm asking for me. Because I feel like I'm past this. Oh, I'm past it. I'm past this part.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, I'll let me stop talking. This isn't about me.
No, but that's it. It was a lot of fun shooting. I have always wanted to do something in that, like, werewolf, vampire, kind of like dark universe type place.
Love
so
it.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And I just loved working with everybody. The crew was like incredible. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before that they make so many of these. Like if you go to their Instagram or their TikTok page or the Real Short app, you'll mm-hmm. see they have so many of these and you can just sit and like watch these essentially movies all day long. And they're so great. They're so well. It's just like a well-oiled machine. And
it
looks incredible. The footage, the quality is really great. So all in all, it was like an amazing experience. Shout out to Leo Max, who was the director, who I love.
Max.
My heart goes out to Leo Max and everybody. Yeah, everybody on the freaking Wolf Pack crew. I love them. And I want everyone to go watch it.
So good. Yeah, guys, check it out. I'm already like, I'm up to that part that she was speaking about, kind of like the whole hacker situation. Mm-hmm. But it's really good. It's like if you, like myself, are on TikTok and you're binging these movies, part 1, 2, 3, 4, one of your favorite movies, go check out RealShort_video. Go check it out and just have yourself a binging session.
Yes, seriously,
and watch
they
the
have
show.
So many. Like they may only have 7 episodes of my show up, but they have so many other shows that are up right now. They only
yeah,
have
but
the
they
first,
have quite a few.
Yeah,
mix.
They have a lot.
3, 6, 9 of no, they have 9 of your show.
Really? I think it might be 2 little teasers because I think they're only up to episode 7. But what they do, I will say, what they do on TikTok is they'll release the first 20 episodes. And then from there to see the end, like the final like 20 or more, then you have to go to the app for it. So they do drive you to the app. But you know what? Oh, my God. There was just an article. I'm in a group chat with a bunch of the people from the set and somebody sent us an article in China and it's like all in Chinese because a lot of the cast was, a lot of the crew, I'm sorry.
The crew, yeah.
Was from China. And the whole article about Real Short, they used the Between Two Alphas poster and they were saying that they made more, I don't know, but they said they made more revenue from, Real Short made more revenue than Netflix did in like, their first like year or something. I don't know. I have to go back and check the article. Obviously, I couldn't read it. But they're competing with Netflix.
I believe it because also it's so accessible and mm-hmm. you don't need a whole ass subscription to watch something. So like you can just go on the app for free and watch a show for free. And then it's at your fingertips. It's right here. It's so easy to watch.
I think what made their revenue stream so high is because Netflix only has like which is great for Netflix. You pay once and then you have it forever. But for this app, like you can watch for free, but you also have the choice to pay to unlock episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, they get people hooked because they're really good and they're enticing mm-hmm. and you want to know what happens next. So people
yes.
are unlocking episodes and paying money. So it's like a, you know, you continue to pay. It's not just like a one-time thing. So
yeah.
good business model for them. Love that.
And it's great.
But yeah,
and
really exciting.
Yeah. Bix plays a very, very sweet, sweet, sweet character. However, Missy,
huh?
I thought you were going to speak up one of the episodes, but you did not.
I know.
You left
it
high and fucking dry. And this is after I texted her too. I was like, your character's so sweet. She's so there for her. And literally the next episode, she was like,
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, all right, Vix.
I have to oblige my alpha. I know. There were so many scenes that, like, and not to spoil anything, but there were so many scenes that meet my character, and then his name is Tim, but he plays the main girl's dad, where him and I just have to, like, let really horrible things happen and just be there in the scene. And after every scene, we would just be like, Mia, her name's Danielle. We'd be like, Danielle, we're so sorry. Like, I would never actually do this to you.
I would be there for you all the way.
Yeah. And the writing, like, some of it's so fun. And also a lot of it, not a lot of it, but there are some parts that are improv, because Leo Max, my favorite director of all time, he never calls cut. He just would never call cut. And he would just, like, let us sit there. And so we would do stuff. We would just keep talking, acting, like, continuing the scene. And a lot of that made the final cuts. So it's really funny and, like, really, it's really, like, really sweet to watch, too.
Improv, baby.
Improv.
We talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, I think when Vass was on.
Vass's episode. Yeah. Do you want to tell us maybe, or funny, or just some story from set from this particular
experience? I just thought of one. Yeah, so there's this one scene, and, like, not to give anything away, this one scene, it's very tense. We're all, like, sitting at a table having dinner, and there's, like, a lot of, like, tension. Like, we think things are resolved, but we don't know if things are resolved. And then the, like, one of the villains, there's, like, many villains, one of the villains, like, enters. And it's supposed to be very scary and, like, what's he going to do? Are they going to fight?
Right.
And this was one of the times where Leo Max wouldn't call cut. And he just, not only does he not call cut, but he'll also call, like, say lines for you to say that are, like, really funny. And he just had the two, like, alpha werewolves at opposite ends of this long, very elegant dining table.
Yeah.
Just, like, staring each other down. And he just kept calling out the funniest lines for him to say. He would be like, I don't want to give too much away, but, like, the actor's name is Ethan. So he was trying to, like, agitate the other. Leo Max was trying to have Ethan agitate the other actor, whose name is Freddie. Mm-hmm. And he just kept feeding him these lines. He's like, tell him you're going to steal his kid. Tell him you're going to kill him. Tell him you're going to steal his son and name. And his name is Ethan.
Oh, my God.
His name is Ethan. Yeah. And it was just like, he was doing this because he knew it was funny. There's a part in the show that you will get to. Mm-hmm. It is the funniest thing ever. And I know I wasn't there for filming, but I know it was Leo Max, because it's just so outlandish and hilarious. And all I'll say is it's a dream sequence, and it's what he makes Ethan do and say is so funny. I, like, went to the group chat. I was like, did you guys see this dream? And everyone was like, no, I didn't get there. But then, like, you know, the next day I have all these texts like, I got to the dream. What the fuck? So, yeah, watch the show. And when you get to the dream, let me know. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Oh, I can't wait. Honestly, I'm so tempted to just buy it.
Me too.
Like, buy it out. Because this ad thing, girly, I'm trying to do what you said, but I'm like, this is taking a while and I just want to watch it.
I know. They know what they're doing. They're like, these ads are
like, they're about to push me to do it. No, but I really want to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to see it in its entirety.
Yeah. No, but I will say, I know that, like, forcing people to pay for stuff is really hard, and, like, dealing with all of these paywalls and people, there's, like, a lot of things that people are now putting behind paywalls that used to be, like, free and more easily accessible. But I will say, this company, they put that revenue to very good use. Their crew, like, is amazing. The quality of everything that they do.
Oh my God, the production quality is top tier.
Yeah.
It's top tier.
And on top of that, they pay their actors very well. They, you know, Crafty was always great. Like, I have no complaints about working with them. Like,
right. So, it's not like there's a paywall, but then your experience was poor. It's like there's a paywall, but you're seeing it.
Yeah. It's
you're
not seeing like, yeah, it's not like there's this big CEO, like, pocketing all of this money for nothing.
Right.
Like, it's just going to these people who are, like, working their asses off to put out really like cool, fun stuff.
And it's a lot of it's inspired, if I'm not mistaken, again, I think, Wattpad?
Well, no, I don't think they're affiliated with, I think it's like Wattpad or something.
It's Wattpad.
But they're
none of their stories are?
Sorry? No, one of
the, are none of their stories?
I don't think they're affiliated with Wattpad at all, but they are affiliated with this other app called Kiss, which is,
okay.
You know, you could go on Kiss and you can find a lot of these like werewolf themed stories. And there's a couple of other, it's on the movie, the poster. On the bottom, you'll see like they're also affiliated with another production company called Crazy Maple Productions, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is the one who connects them to Kiss and the other two apps where they get their stories and like source it. So they have writers. So it's all just like a one big team that they all just like work together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think Wattpad is affiliated with them.
Well, I was going to say, whatever you guys are familiar with, if you're familiar with Wattpad or Kiss, it reminds me of that. Like if you're into like vampire, werewolf, like lore or like that world.
Almost like fan fictiony, like vibe. Yeah,
exactly. If you're into that, I definitely would recommend this. I feel like that would be right up your alley.
Right up
for whoever's listening.
Yeah. And they're like still coming out with more. And also like if you're an actor and you're in LA, they are posting, like they are constantly casting. So if you see anything on Actors Access for, you know, you see anything that says has the word alpha, has anything that's seeming like Luna, alpha, those are all these projects. And you'll see in the breakdown, it'll say like mobisode style, 1 to 2 minutes, like for TikTok or like for whatever. And it'll specify like vertical style filming.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I've seen some other ones that I'm like, I don't recognize any of those names. So I do think there might be other crews like kind of doing the same thing. But for the most part, they're all for real short and they're a great team to work with if you like want to get in with them.
I'm curious. I have a question for you. Yeah. And then we'll get into our episode. But how was it on set filming for something that's vertical? Did you notice anything different stylistically that had to be done? Or
honestly, was it pretty much the same? It was really the same. Mm-hmm. I had never seen the equipment that they use to film vertically. I've just like never shot something vertically that wasn't on like a cell phone. So it was really cool. Like the equipment was all pretty much the same. They just had like, you know, vertical monitors and everything adjusted for that. But for the actors on the actor side, I didn't really feel anything different. I feel like it was probably more production side that had a lot more adjusting to do. But yeah, it was pretty much like I wouldn't have known the difference, I think.
Would have known the day. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if they're like spacing wise or blocking, if like anything had to be different considering they were like doing, I know in post they would be doing the vertical shots and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't know if there was anything on your side.
I feel like in a way it kind of, and I'm speaking out of like nothing because I was not on the crew, but I feel like it maybe was like a little simpler because you have less space that you need to deal with. So, you know, scenes of somebody like transforming into a wolf, it's so much easier in a vertical shot to get somebody jumping across the table and out of frame really quick than if they had to jump out of a horizontal frame or falling down the stairs.
There's more travel time. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, it makes certain action stuff a little more believable with you know, what we had available to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like scenes like that where somebody either has to like jump out of frame or falls out of frame or whatever. Mm. And yeah, I feel like the vertical helps keep it very like tense and like
tight.
Yes. Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So everybody make sure to check out Bix's show, Fatal Temptation Between Two Alphas, which again, you can find on the Real Short app or on TikTok at RealShort_video. Hell, so check out Bix.
Not Olivia practicing for her commercial audition right now.
No. Oh my God. Imagine. Like, I'm just using this. This is my warm up. Although it is kind of like warming up. But yeah, anyway.
Oh my God. I did a commercial audition yesterday for like commercial representation. in person. Yeah. Like,
wild.
It was so nuts.
I feel like I don't do those anymore.
I know. It was so crazy. I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? But it went fine. I was in there for like 2 minutes. But I wasn't expecting what it was. It was kind of like,
yeah.
I guess I've never specifically met with an agent to seek out specifically commercial representation. Mm-hmm. I've always met with people for like across the board. So it's always been like a sit down and you talk, or maybe you perform, or maybe like whatever. But I got there and there was just like a shit ton of people, and you put your name down on a list and they call everybody in one by one. The door is wide open. So you hear everything everybody's doing. And it was just like, slate your name, height, profiles, and go right into the copy. And then they're like, okay, cool. Thanks. Bye.
Isn't that so wild? I remember those. You would have so much preparation, your hair, your makeup, your mm-hmm. outfit. There's all this travel time. I remember when okay, then we'll get into the topic today.
I feel like this is kind of the topic. Our topic today is kind of just like story time of times on set. Bad, good, fun, weird, ugly, amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes me feel a little better sharing this. I'm not going so off topic, but I just wanted to say, piggybacking off what you said, like the 1 to 2 minutes in a room, I remember when more auditions were in person. And if you don't know already, I'm located in New York. I'd commute all the way into Manhattan because a lot of the auditions would be in that borough, a lot that I used to attend. And I'd have to travel. So I'd take this long commute. I just did all my hair, my makeup. I'm like running to the audition. Maybe wait time sometimes could be short, long, just depends on how the day's going. Mm-hmm. So I wait maybe an hour, let's just say, because that has happened before. And you're in that room for sometimes.
Blink of an eye.
Less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and then there's times that I would then be like, okay, got to take this long commute back home after literally going to the city to be seen for maybe 5 minutes. And then, or there'd be times that I'm like, I feel like I have to do something else because I just took this like crazy commute.
Yeah, like I need to be out and just like stay out. Yeah.
I need to figure out a reason to stay out. Yeah. Just so wild back then, which is why I do kind of favor these self-tapes because
just so much easier.
Just another example. I have a commercial audition to film after this episode, and for it I think we just have to move around because they want a good idea of my face since it's a cosmetic commercial. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were going to a casting office, essentially that's what it'd be. I'd walk in and I'd be moving my face around the camera so they can get every angle, maybe a picture left, right, whatever. And that's the audition for the commercial. Yeah.
Here's my face. Do you like it?
Basically. So it's kind of nice to not have to take a commute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Just for that. Not to sound ungrateful, but
yeah. No, that's something that I was thinking about yesterday as I was driving to this audition. It was only 12 minutes away. I mean, with traffic, it would probably be a lot more. But
yeah,
it was like 12 minutes away. And I get there and it's just like, LA, yes, LA is really big and spread out, and Manhattan is a lot more obviously like condensed and like packed mm-hmm. in. But right. I feel you. Like I in New York when I would go to auditions and I would have to like it's just the schlep of getting mm-hmm. into Manhattan. Like once you're in yep. Manhattan, whatever. But like just getting into Manhattan was so like draining. That being able to just hop in my car and drive there and be there in 12 minutes, park, get out. And then maybe it was like a 35-minute drive home or something because of traffic. But whatever, I'm sitting in my car. I'm not like
right.
schlepping my ass like from train to train to train to bus yes. to this to walk to yes. that. So it felt a lot nicer just to be able to get to point A, point B, and peace out. Oh,
so nice. Oh my God. Yeah. We wanted to share stories of on set, the good, the bad, the ugly.
The ugly.
But which I feel like we kind of been talking about anyway, you know, for example, Bix's experience on set, which I'm very happy it was a good experience for you.
Yeah, it was, so it was very,
I'm very happy.
Very good. Do you have any bad experiences, funny experiences? Tell me a little tale while I sip my coffee.
Okay. I'll tell you when, this was back in 2012. So this is a long ass time ago, but I think it was 2012 or 2013. I was doing background work and it was my first day of background work and my last day of background work because that's how much I hated it.
First and last.
First and last. And then from there, I swore off background work from that day. That's how bad it was. So I don't know if you guys remember the show The Following.
Oh, yes.
So good. That's so good.
That's
so good. I'm so sad they canceled it. Remember they canceled after a couple seasons?
They canceled it. Oh my God. I just, yes. I need to go back and watch that show because that show fucking, that show made me fear for my fucking life every second of the day.
Yes.
I would be on the train and be like, someone's got a knife. I would be like, oh,
somebody's got a knife.
Seriously,
which
you never knew.
Unfortunately, is the truth.
That's actually really, yeah, somebody does have a knife, honestly. But yeah, that show was so great. Oh, and Kevin Bacon, I would kiss him right on his face. I love Kevin Bacon.
Oh my God, he killed that role.
And do you see him on Instagram? He's so sexy.
And he's having the best time with his wife. Mm-hmm, like, his they goats. Are living their best life at his goat. Good for Kevin Bacon and his goats. Oh, I love that.
Shout out to Kevin
Bacon. So good. Shout out to Kevin Bacon.
Anyway, I'm sorry you were doing background.
No, you're totally good. I'm just so happy you have the same enthusiasm for that show.
I loved that show.
Because I love it. Yeah, that makes me really happy, actually. So I was like, great, love the show. I get to be, well, actually, this was before the show came out, I think. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It was my first day doing background work. I get to set, and to give you some context, it's winter, and we're next to the water. And this is a film at a festival, was the scene, I believe. And there was like a whole chase happening, you know, the whole night. So I got to bring some stuff to set to wear. And then they also gave me stuff to wear. And then they also kind of, I'm sure you know, Bix, like they told me like what they want me to look like. So I had little to no choice of what my outfit was for the scene. So it's freezing. So I'm just going to throw out a temperature. Let's just say it's like 30 degrees. Oh, it's really fucking cold. Like, I just remember it being freezing. So cold that, okay, so let me back up. So I do that sometimes with my thoughts. I like redo that here. So I like have this outfit on. And now my outfit for this outdoor scene on the water is like skeleton leggings, a one piece, like the bodysuit that like clips beneath. Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, like a leotard and then, guy.
A leotard, thank you. And then the arms of the leotard were sheer. And then I'm wearing heels. And then
were you playing?
But it's so funny. When I posted a picture of that in 2012, someone commented like and said, what exactly are you? Because the costume was everywhere. But I guess it was for like Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
Festival. So they just wanted me to look like wild and like I'm having like the time of my life.
Honestly sounds fun. Like, I know it's not going to be fun ending. But it sounds fun because every time I've ever worked background, there's only been like one or two times that I got to wear like something really cool. And every other time it was just like, wear your own fucking clothes.
Well, all of that was mine except for the leggings. Like the skeleton leggings were theirs, but the leotard with the sheer, that was mine. And then I brought my own Mardi Gras, like a mask. So I brought a mask and then they gave me beads to throw on. That's it.
30
degrees. And they gave me a little leather jacket. They gave me like a little, like you know, the short leather jackets that cut off at the waist that are just meant for show, not for actual warmth.
Right. Yeah,
that. So I'm doing this scene. Meanwhile, Kevin Bacon and anyone who has lines, so I'll say even like the co-stars, guest stars, and Kevin Bacon, all in Canadian jackets, because that's how cold it is outside. So they're all in their jackets, and anytime they had the scene would start, they quickly take off the jacket, they do the scene, and quickly throw it right back on. On top of that, they were giving the actors, like the lead actors, pocket warmers and stuff to put in their jackets because that's how cold it was. So they're doing all this for these lead actors because that's how freezing is. I'm just like really emphasizing this cold so you could get the point, because they had us out there.
New York City winter time. On the fucking water.
Water.
In a leotard.
And they did it in a leotard and leggings. And they didn't have us go back inside to like get warm. So they just kept us outside even during breaks.
Oh my God.
They would say, all right, quick break. Like we're, you know, whatever they have to do and adjust. But we had to just stand there.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. I got so cold that it got to the point where I couldn't stand anymore. So to keep my, like your body naturally goes into like, I went into fetal position on the floor to keep all whatever heat I had left. So I was getting so cold. So then I went on the ground, was hugging my legs to my chest because I was like, I just need to keep whatever warmth I have. I was like, I'm so cold. I was freezing. Then I'm going to assume like a guest star, co-star, someone with the line saw me on the floor and they were playing detectives. That's what I remember. And they were like, oh my God. So they came over to me and they're like, sweetie, like come here. So they gave me some of their pocket warmers and they were like, they huddled around me, these men, to try to keep me warm because I just couldn't take it anymore. And then eventually
should have been like, the crew, but shout out to those co-star guest stars.
Shout out to the actors that were looking out for other actors.
Yes.
The crew didn't care that I was on the floor, literally like possibly dying. And I'm like, my heat's just like the heat. I'm kidding. I'm exaggerating a bit, but like I wasn't dying. All the heat in my body was just escaping every which way.
Yeah, that's very dangerous.
Yeah. So then I just remember these really kind actors were keep huddling around me, giving me pocket warmers, keeping me alive, essentially.
That's very
sweet. And then finally, when the scene ended, I said, because I remember it was like a 16-hour, I don't know, it was like hours. Yeah. I just remember getting there in the morning and I didn't leave until it was like pitch black and I'm freezing my ass off. And I said, this is the worst experience hands down that I've ever had. And I said, I never want to experience this level of, in my opinion, mistreatment again.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, they needed to let us go back inside. I was like, this is brutal. So, yeah, I said, Olivia, you're never, never doing
never,
that.
Never, yeah.
So I never did.
Good for
I
you.
Did one day of background work and it scarred me for life. And I said, yeah, fuck this. And I just never did it again.
Good for you because I stuck it out. So long, even
I know
it was
you did, and every
horrible.
Every time Bix was saying, "I have work today," and her work was back work, I was like, "Bless this girl's
bless
soul,"
me.
Because bless it, I could not. But also, I'm hoping your experience wasn't as treacherous as that. But yeah, I'm sure you have your stories that you can share.
Yeah,
so
I feel
that
like
was mine.
With background, I've definitely had like really horrible experiences, and or just like. I've had a couple that were like actually really bad. And then every other time it was just like annoying and like long. And yeah, you feel like nobody cares about you. And you know, you're sitting in a trailer that's and
because
it's
sometimes
pouring,
they
it's
don't.
Leaking. They don't. I literally sat.
There are times they do. I will say
that.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
Because I've been on sets where they're so sweet towards every person because they see us all as just equal, equals. They're just like, you need something. We got to take care of you. But yeah, my experience, unfortunately, was that when I was doing background work.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I've had some experiences that like, it was fine. Everybody was sweet. Everybody like, was treated fine. But it was just like a long, grueling, like annoying day. And then I've had the experiences like that where, you know, there was one, it was a commercial shoot and I had to drive all the way to like, I don't even know what the fuck it's called. Somewhere like an hour or so north of where I am in L.A., and it's freezing so cold. And they have the little trailer for the girl who's playing like the principal in the commercial. And then all the background actors are sitting outside, huddled around one tiny little space heater. And we're all like literally like taking turns, standing close to it and putting like our hands and feet on it. And then like rotating because they only fucking had one. And they had people shooting in bikinis, like they had like a beach scene. Yeah, and it like it took me back to America's Next Top Model. You saw how many times those girls had to like be rushed to the emergency room because they were getting like hypothermia and shit.
Yep.
And then I believe this was the same shoot, but it started like downpouring raining, so they moved us into. Oh no, this was a different shoot. This was for a different commercial. And it was pouring rain and we're on like like a crop field, like where they harvest and like plant a bunch of mm-hmm. stuff, and they have those like domes that go over or whatever. So we're like under a dome for some of the shots, but it's like soft soil because that's where what they use to dig, and they like plant up whatever they're planting and then they rip it up or whatever. So the soil's so soft that we're all literally like knee deep in mud, just like trying to get out, like literally pulling each other out of the mud because we're supposed to be like gardeners and like taking a shot of us being gardeners in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're moving all over to all these different locations. It starts downpouring even more. And the only place they have to put us is a trailer that is so old. It had like fabric, like couches, like sitting opposite each other that were just like all ripped up and stained. And there's water dripping from all. So we're all like huddled on the couch because we can only sit on one spot because the water is dripping down and we're all freezing, shivering. And they did not use us again. And that's the thing that always pisses me off. And I understand they don't know. So they have to keep us and keep us around. But they held us in there for so long. And then they were just like, after like maybe 4 or 5 hours, I'm not even joking, they were like, oh, okay, you guys can go. And I was like,
thank you for torturing me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for making
me
sit in a wet, stinky box.
Ew,
like,
ew.
So uncomfortable. Oh, it was horrible. Oh, it was horrible. Yeah, I...
A wet, stinky box is a horrible description.
Just, like, imagine, like, a really old trailer, probably from, like, the 70s or 80s with those fabric seats that are all disgusting and stink. Oh, my God. It was so horrible. But, yeah, I swore off. That wasn't even why I swore off background work. I think...
Do you want to share, like, what was your breaking point?
I think I told you this story, or maybe I told it on the podcast before, but it was, like, one of those big cattle calls. It was for something that was going to be shot.
Oh,
and, like,
you did tell me this.
Yeah,
but...
I think I told it on the pod, too, but just in case I didn't, I'll make it really brief. It was one of those cattle calls where they're shooting something, like, in an arena. It's supposed to be, like, a concert or whatever. It's, like, a big pop star, so they have it set up like it's actually their tour, so they have all the, like, set. And the lights and this and that. And it was a closed set. So they took our phones and put them in those little bags and literally just sent us into a pitch black stadium, pitch black. So I couldn't even see. Nobody could have their phones to like use their flashlights or whatever. So that already set me off. And then I'm like sitting in an aisle, closed in the pitch black. And then they start like testing the lights and it's like strobe lights and all these lights, and they're testing the sounds, and they're just, I'm just really, I have a lot of like sensory issues. So going from standing outside in the bright sun online trying to check in and get in to being thrusted into a pitch black room packed in like a sardine, not being able to have my phone, not being able to see anything, like read a book to like detach. And then fucking strobe lights and crazy sounds and everything going crazy. So I literally left and I started walking around the outside of the arena, like where they have like the concession stands. And it was so crazy. Like, I don't remember having a panic attack like this in so long that like my actual vision was like, I remember looking at the tiles on the floor and they started like moving.
Oh, my God.
I was just, like, dizzy, and I was, like, hysterically crying, and this random girl came up to me. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, no.
Oh, my God.
And then a PA came up to me, and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm absolutely not okay. And he sent me somewhere else, and he was like, go find – I think he meant – I don't know what he meant to say, but the words he said to me was, go over to the prop table. There should be an AD there, and talk to them, and they'll figure everything out for you. So I go over to the table and I'm literally like, I can't see, I can't breathe. I'm like spinning and I'm just like crying. And these men are so like nasty and just like arms crossed, like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, a PA just told me to come over here and find the AD. And they were like, the AD, like, you want to talk to the assistant director? And I was like, I don't know who I need to talk to. The PA just sent me over here. And I'm like, I need help. And they were like, what's wrong with you? And it wasn't until then that I, like, told them, like, what was wrong with me, that they, like, the second I was like, hey, like, I have these issues and I'm experiencing a panic attack because I have this thing. They were like, oh shit. And then they were so nice. They gave me water. They were like, what do you need? They called a PA. She like was like, everything's okay. Everything's okay. They sent me home. But it was just like, I was just so pissed that it took me to say like, hey, I have this diagnosis that makes me very sensitive to sound and light and certain sensory situations.
You don't warn people. You don't just throw someone into that. There needs to be a warning like, hey, today's work, if you have like, I don't want to sound dumb, narcolepsy?
Oh, epilepsy.
Like flash epilepsy? Yeah. Oh, what the heck did I just say?
Narcolepsy is like falling asleep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then I meant the other one.
Yeah.
What is it?
Epilepsy.
Yeah, epilepsy.
Yeah, if you're like prone to seizures.
They need to warn you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my last experience with background just because, yeah, I like literally wanted to die. And then later that night.
You can't just throw people into that.
And I was pissed about that. And that's, I feel like working with a booking service, yes, it's great. If you're, that's what you're doing, you just want to get booked and work. But it's also not good because then you don't have the choice to say no. You don't get any information. If they would have just said, hey, like, this is what you're doing today, I would have said, hey, sorry, like, I am physically unable to do that.
Yeah,
and then I wouldn't have gone. But yeah, so that was awful and I hated it and it sucked.
Oh my God. I'm trying to think, do I have anything positive?
Positive?
I mean, I have funny ones, but they're like kind of like you have to had to be there because when I say it, I almost know like nobody will laugh. But I'm like, do I have any?
Make me laugh.
Well, yeah, I was just like, there's a scene basically that I did for Sky Hoshi Anime Girl. And while on set, the scene was like, be careful what you wish for. And it's like towards the end of the movie. And I'm like sweetly, like I lean into Adam and I'm like, careful what you wish for, because he wished for me to be real. Now I'm real.
Oh, yes.
Well, after I said it was so while filming, I had something in my throat, but I didn't know. So as I said, be careful what you wish for. I'm supposed to be sweet. I was like, ew, ew, ew. And I was like, oh. And then I literally, I remember I said that and then Hunter looks at me. He's like, oh, and then he gets startled. I started laughing for literally, there is a 20-minute outtake of me laughing because I couldn't collect my bearings for 20 minutes. So that's the whole so set, funny. But then everyone else starts hysterically laughing. And then when you see the take, it actually is hysterical because my voice just like completely morphs and I sound like this witch that's like.
Wait, they use that take in the movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they showed me it.
That's so
they
funny.
Showed me. And when you watch the scene, it's so sweet. But then when it came out of my throat, it sounded like I was possessed.
Jewish boy.
And yeah, it was. So, and then Hunter lost it. He started laughing, who plays Adam. And then, yeah, I couldn't collect my bearings for a good 20 minutes.
20 minutes is a long time.
Oh, I couldn't. That's I couldn't. It was so like, funny. And yeah. And then eventually Kalani was like, I'm just going to stop the camera. It was still rolling because he thought I'd be able to collect it and
get
just jump
in.
Right back in. So, but he had to just cut. He was like, I can't even keep rolling because she can't get it together.
Oh my God.
That was definitely a fun one. And yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I guess I'll share one more positive from Sky Hoshi real quick. And then I'm going to pass the mic to you.
Tell me more.
It was fun. Like the first couple days of filming, we filmed some of the most serious scenes of the movie the first couple days. And that's also when I met Hunter for the first time. And I just remember that's like when our kissing scenes were, our serious monologues, when I'm eating ramen for the first time. And if you see the film, I have this like when I eat ramen for the first time, I take like or maybe it's the second time when I'm eating ramen, watching TV with Adam,
I
shove a fistful of ramen into my mouth. Like I take the bowl and I lift up all the ramen with my chopstick and I just shoved the whole thing into my mouth. And that was Hunter's genuine reaction in the film. So he looks at me, he's like, oh my God, who is this girl? And I'm meeting this man for the first time. So it was funny that was like one of our first scenes and I'm just like, Kalani, I have an idea. Can I just go for it. And Kalani's like, sure, whatever, like, whatever you have in mind, just do it. And I started just shoving fistfuls of ramen into my mouth. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was the first time you met Hunter, was doing that.
And that was the first, and that's like, yeah, it was like those scene, and it was a good icebreaker. And I remember that day, like, everyone's like, Olivia, you don't have to actually eat the ramen. Like, you could do like spit it out or like don't swallow it. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Right. So I'm eating all this ramen. And then it's the same scene, the same day I'm doing the scenes where Sky's trying coffee for the first time.
Oh my God.
And now I'm drinking all of this coffee. And then literally I go, oh my God, my stomach hurts. And everyone's like, well, maybe it's all the coffee and ramen that you're not pretending to eat. And you're actually just going for it. Like, that could be the reason why.
I
am my own worst enemy.
I do the same thing though. Like, I think I was saying this in the episode last week. Like, I go too hard sometimes and I need to like relax. But I remember I was on Rabbit Hole, the play, and I played Izzy, the sister, and all of the scenes, and it's like written into the script. Like, she's just like constantly like shoveling like cake in her mouth, or she's like squirting like chocolate syrup in her mouth. And she's just always like nibbling and like eating stuff up. So doing that show was so fun because it's like very serious and very, if you guys don't know what Rabbit Hole is about, it's about a couple who loses their son and they're trying to, you know, repair and heal from it. And my character was kind of the like comic relief sister. So I got to have a lot of fun. Everybody else is like fucking sad, crying, blah, blah, blah. And I'm over here just like, pouring, like, I don't know how many bottles of chocolate syrup I ingested throughout the run of that show, but it was a lot. I ate a lot of cake and a lot of chocolate, I will say.
I love that for you.
Yeah, it was great. I love getting to like, I did like a scene
Me
once.
Too.
Yeah, it's the best. I did like a showcase once and I did a monologue, and the monologue, I just was sitting on the floor and had a tub of like Oreo ice cream. And it was like melting, and I was just
cookies
like
cookies and cream ice cream.
Yeah,
get out.
I was just
That's
like
one of my favorites.
Sitting on the stage, like eating it, and it was like melting down my face and like getting everywhere. It was it was really good.
Yeah, if you ever want to cast me, a food scene would be great.
Yeah, food scene, perfect.
I'm always down for a food scene, so I'm your girl.
She's your girl. You know something funny about Between Two Alphas? This is it's kind of like on set, but kind of like after the release, I'm realizing. So this is me admitting to everybody that sometimes I can be a horrible actor, because there's this one scene that I thought was at the end. I thought it was like one of the final scenes. So I'm giving it my fucking all. I'm like, this is the end. And, you know, all of this, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, it's just like very emotional, an emotional place. So I had like these lines and I'm just like really sad. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like apologizing. I'm so sorry. We were so stupid. I can't believe this, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't the end of the movie. It's in like the middle.
I
see the scene and I'm like, I also think they took some like creative liberties and like did some like mixing, matching, you know how they do in post-production, things get changed around. But watching the scene back, I think they cut, I had two back-to-back lines and they cut one of them. And I feel like it was probably because I wasn't matching the emotional place that I should have been in, because I thought that it was at the end of the fucking series.
Right, so you're like, this is like, the big like, you know, like a big encore. Like,
yes.
The end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have like my one line in there where I'm like crying, and then the other line, like, they didn't put in. So it's just like funny seeing some things. And I saw an actor, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody like big and notable that everybody knows. It was one of those like actor notes posts where it's just like an actor giving advice. And she was saying that something that she does to create a like organization in her brain, because with TV, film, you're shooting out of order. You're shooting like out of context. So she would make like an emotional graph kind of. and it would place her in where she needs to be based on like what happened in the scene before. So she would, like, I think she said she would put numbers or something, and she would number each scene and then create like a chart. Like, I'm like going, you can't see me on the podcast.
She's drawing.
Yeah. So like, if you like are like
the levels.
Yeah. So if you're imagining, yeah, just like a chart with like spikes or like kind of curved lines or whatever, if it's more, I don't know, of like a softer transition. But she said that she would use that because then she would come to set one day and they're filming scene like 40 and they just see filmed scene 2. So she can refer to her chart and be like, what was the emotional state right before this? What's the emotional state after this?
That's so smart.
So yes, you don't have to go back and like read the whole script and be like, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Right.
Because sometimes you also don't have the time, I notice. Like they'll just be like, oh shit, we're doing the scene real quick. And then you don't have time to prepare. So having something like that to refer back to, I feel like could be helpful.
It could be, yeah.
Because, yeah, that scene, I was like, and it's like the middle.
Vic still has like six more scenes.
Yeah, it was episode like 10. There's like 60 episodes, and I'm like, no. Yeah, it was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. You were able to get to that emotional state. That's also not easy. But I feel like this is a great place to end. I feel that was a great tip that I feel like I could probably use too. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're an OG listener or a new listener, welcome. Please feel free to check us out on our Instagram at ITM with Liv and Biggs. That is In the Moment with Liv and Biggs, baby. And if you go to TikTok, we're at Liv and Biggs. And yeah, be sure to check out, again, Biggs's new show, Between Two Alphas. Check it out on Real Video.
Real Short.
And
Real Short. And it's R-E-E-L. Kind of real.
R-E-E-L. That's right. Make sure it's R-E-E-L Short _ Video on TikTok or download the app. And Bix, anything that you want to say?
Yeah. If you haven't already, make sure to check out The Online Actor. Check out their website. They're really great. I've, you know, still been working with VAS for self-tapes. They offer really great classes, coaching sessions. And we have a little promo code, and it is ITM20. Yeah. So you can use that at checkout for any of your classes, coaching sessions, self-tape sessions. Or you can go to theonlineactor.com/ITM20 and it will automatically add that 20% discount for you. And it's great. It's affordable. That's the one thing I want to say. It is like so affordable, especially with the 20% discount. A lot of coaching sessions can be like upwards of like $200 sometimes. So if you're kind of...
Take
advantage pretty much. VAS is really great, very generous, and I think he would be a great coach for you. So ITM20, bitch.
ITM20, baby.
Sorry I called you a bitch.
Not you. It's a form of endearment in our world, okay?
Yeah.
So we will catch you guys in 2 weeks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into The Moment with us.
Our amazing cover art is by @hyperjuice on Instagram.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at ITM with Liv and Vic.
Like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Also, if you're feeling extra generous, we won't hate it if you rate and review.
Bye!